Do you consider yourself healthy? Are your children healthy? Are you happy and energetic? Or are you feeling drained come midday?
Before we start our episode, we'd like to take a minute to thank our sponsor, Islamic Relief Australia, who provides aid in over 30 countries and is the perfect avenue for Muslims to spend their money for the sake of Allah. Make sure you check out their website, islamic-relief.com.au.
Salams, I'm Dahlia.
And I'm Jana.
We're just two regular mums with five kids between us.
We're not experts at this mum thing, and we're not here to preach or mum shame you.
We're here to learn with you guys, share tips.
And most importantly, have fun while figuring out motherhood one day at a time.
Welcome to Mums on the Run.
Salams, lovely mums. Welcome to Mums on the Run. Today we have an amazing sister, Naima Abdat. Naima is a naturopath helping women achieve their optimal health and well-being. Assalamu alaikum, Naima. Lovely to have you.
Wa alaikum salam. Thank you for having me.
So for those who are unfamiliar what a naturopath does, usually naturopaths use a system of natural remedies to help the body heal itself, utilizing many therapies such as herbs, massage, acupuncture, exercise, and nutritional counseling. Salam again, Naima. So lovely for you to join us.
Thank you for having me.
Okay, so I'll start with the first question. There was a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam who said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the human does not feel any container worse than their stomach. Mm-hmm. So from your experiences, what are some bad eating habits that we've developed in families in the West? And what are some obvious changes that we need to be making?
Yeah, that hadith speaks a lot.
Yeah.
So in the West, so our society, I think a lot of people are going to hate me about this one, but drinking coffee on an empty stomach.
Yeah.
So it's not something that you need to cut out completely, and I don't get everyone to go off coffee, but just knowing what your body, where your body is at in terms of your health, and is coffee helping your health or making it worse? Mm. And the fact that drinking it responsibly, so not having on an empty stomach and having it away from food. So coffee stops the absorption of nutrients.
Yep. Oh, God.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. So keeping it away from your meals. Mm-hmm. And also, like, for example, in the morning, having something more gentle on your stomach, something ready to help your stomach digest and get ready for metabolizing.
What would that be?
It could be anything.
Don't say celery or something.
Well, anything. It depends as well. Like I said, I always like to emphasize that everyone is an individual. Everyone's health is at different places. But if we were to generalize, in Sydney, we all live a stressful kind of lifestyle. So generally you're going to have a busy day ahead. So you would need something that just relaxes your stomach muscles. So something like warm water, warm water with maybe some apple cider vinegar or some drops of lemon and or a herbal tea with honey and lemon.
Yeah.
Something that's just soothing the stomach and preparing it for digestion.
Yeah.
Okay. And then after that, do I have to eat before having the coffee or not?
Yeah. Yeah. Because that would actually make it worse. Like, you're preparing now. If you were to do that, you're preparing your acids to come to the stomach to prepare for digestion. And then all of a sudden you put coffee in it, and that just will actually make it worse.
So what's an optimal time to, if someone does implement coffee in their life, we say like one coffee a day. Mm-hmm. And what's an optimal time to have that coffee? The midday or?
So if we want to do things that are supporting our body in what it's already trying to do.
Okay.
So generally, when we look at coffee, it's increasing our cortisol levels. So it's making us more energetic.
Yeah.
So we would look at naturally our cortisol levels start to increase from when we wake up, and it starts to go up higher up until about 12:01. Mm-hmm. So in these times, as it's rising, it'll be the best time to have coffee.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And that way you're not ruining the circadian rhythm that you're already going through as well.
Yeah.
But again, everyone is different because there are some people with imbalanced circadian rhythms as well. So after you have your breakfast, maybe wait about 20 minutes, half an hour, and then you have your coffee. And I would still suggest when you have your coffee, having some, you know, protein snack next to it as well.
Okay. One thing I did want to ask is that what kind of food would you implement into your life that's really beneficial, that is kind of a must have for you?
Okay, so must have for adults is vegetables. So you need to eat vegetables like your life depends on it, like half your plate veggies.
Yeah.
And then for children, like their life depends on it, protein.
Oh, Okay.
Wow.
What kind of proteins? Like chickpeas and...
So I would always advocate for more animal sources of protein.
Okay.
Because protein, there is 7 essential amino acids that need to be in one meal.
Yeah.
For it to be complete and utilized by the body.
Yeah.
So there's nothing wrong also with plant-based proteins, as long as you've already researched and know that your whole meal contains all that 7 amino acids.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yeah, and with children, because they're going through a period of rapid growth, the only thing the body can use as a building block is protein.
SubhanAllah.
Wow, okay. All right, yep.
Yeah, so again, we have this issue with organic or the way animals are farmed, and so it's putting people off animal proteins.
Yes, that's not like usually people will turn away from.
People are becoming more
vegetarian and vegan, and yeah, it's, I mean, it all sounds good on paper. But realistically, when you go vegan or vegetarian, you have to have done your research on how to make sure your meals are still getting all the nutrients you need. And also, so you can get plant-based proteins, but with animal sources of protein. So you can also get eggs, fish, finding this. There is now halal, like meat and chicken that you can get that's been farmed well. But we are lacking in Sydney, in Australia. I don't know actually about all of Australia, but definitely in Sydney, we are lacking in terms of that area, of that produce.
Yeah, absolutely.
And knowing where our food comes from, it is quite hard. But we do need to do our research in whatever we do, whatever we choose to do, is doing that research and know why we're doing it. We might research sometimes one side of the argument and then run over to the other side, but not having researched that other side well.
Yeah, well, yeah.
There is. There's a wave of people that are leaving veganism, even the people that were advocating it the most. And it's ironic because I'm not anti-vegan, but I do think, as you were saying, you really do need to do your research because sometimes they compensate a lot of the things like cheese and zinc and whatever by taking a lot of supplements. So it's not actually such a
natural way
of doing things.
Yeah, I think whichever way you go, like it has to be done in balance and it has to be done responsibly. Like just because you eat animal protein, it doesn't mean you're, you know, just going off eating, you know, red meat a lot, or
of course, even
beef. Beef is inflammatory, and there is like a hadith about that as well. And then on the other side, with vegetarian and veganism, you have to be on, like, most of the time B12 and iron, generally lacking in those. And then with children, is what I've seen in clinic as well, is sometimes parents think they're doing good for their children. But that's why I stress about this a lot, is because it's not out there as much that children need that protein. What happens is their immune system starts going down because their body goes in a state of stress because they're not having that building blocks that they need.
SubhanAllah. Okay. SubhanAllah. Yeah, absolutely.
So what are some signs or red flags that either us or our family members or kids have nutritional deficiencies? So now you've just mentioned the protein for the kids.
But
what are other red flags that we can actually look out for?
Okay, so there are many. Okay, so the body will always communicate with us. And the thing is, it will be just very slight. So you think it's normal. It's not something you'd go to a doctor for. The doctor will definitely send you home if you just came saying you had twitching in your eyelids, for example.
Okay.
I'm never going to go to the doctor for that.
So I like to run those, like I run some workshops to get everybody to learn about these things. So I feel like it's essential for everyone to know. So for example, twitching eyelids. But again, with these symptoms, you don't look at it on its own. So for example, twitching of eyelids can be a sign of magnesium deficiency. But I wouldn't, just because you have twitching eyelids, it wouldn't be a definite, okay, you have magnesium deficiency. You would look at, what does magnesium do? So magnesium is a muscle relaxant. So are your muscles, you know, tight? Do you get spasms in your other muscles, other areas? Do you have trouble falling asleep?
Okay.
So when all of these together is a yes.
Yeah.
Then that's like, okay, you have a magnesium deficiency. You look like you need more magnesium.
Yes.
Well. Yeah.
So with iron, for example, generally you're more tired. So everybody knows our iron. But again, it's not just because you're tired. It means you're iron deficient, which again, I'll have clients who said, I was feeling tired. So I went to the doctor and asked the doctor for an iron blood test and B12. So everybody knows iron and blood and B12 for low energy.
Yeah.
And then they will just, even though they don't have low B12,
yeah,
they will ask the doctor for a B12 injection.
Okay, yeah.
So again, it's looking at the body holistically, yeah. Okay? What else is it paired with? So for example, with iron, you know, children or even adults, you're yawning, yawning a lot, feeling tired, with children sweating around the hairline.
Mm.
Iron is also important for skin, yeah. Skin structure. So if there's any issues with skin structure, sometimes you'll get dark under eyes. Under eyes might be darker.
Okay.
Yep.
But again, like I said, it's not something to just single out on its own and look for that one symptom on its own. It needs to be holistic. And
like you were saying, you know, you would spend a good 45 minutes, you know, asking questions, digging all this out about the human being, where sometimes we go to a doctor, and I'm not anti-medicine or anti-doctors, but sometimes you go to the doctor. I remember I was telling Jana I had migraines. I was in there for like 3 minutes.
Yeah.
She's already given me lifelong medication. Oh, and I'm like, huh? Like
migraines, they just give you the heaviest medication.
So absolutely, yeah, I agree with you. And I find, we were just talking about that in the office, how we live such a fast-paced life that it's just sometimes not convenient to, like...
Not convenient,
you know, so it's just easy to give, you know, processed food or, you know, quick snacks to the kids, and then we don't realise they're having all these little symptoms that we're ignoring.
Yeah.
Until something maybe serious happens.
SubhanAllah, like, yeah, like she's talking about that, like, as well. I'm not, like, anti-medicine or anything, but, yeah, sometimes you just go to a specialist as well. Like, you go to, like, I think... not long ago, I had like a hair loss problem. I just went in. I was put on blood pressure medication. Like, oh, I'll take these. Okay, out. Yeah. 5 minutes in and out. I'm like, I'm pretty sure it's not like that. Like, you know, I just
it's paid really a lot of money. Yeah, yes. I actually get really sad when I hear these stories a lot.
Yes.
Like, especially in clinic, like every client has their story with how they were dealt with in terms of their health in the past. They normally come to me as a last resort.
Yeah.
Which is sad as well. So, but what I find is that from health, for when we are healthy and well, there is a spectrum in terms of our advancement towards disease.
Mm-hmm.
And along the way towards that, we will get signs and symptoms. And when we get those signs and symptoms, it's our body's way of communicating to us that we are struggling, we're not dealing, there is an issue that we need to fix.
Yeah.
So our body generally has its own natural healing abilities.
Yeah.
So whenever there is an imbalance in one area of the body, it will affect another area of the body, but the body will work to re-establish balance in that area. But we put things in our diet and our lifestyle that stop that natural healing process.
Yeah.
And also understanding the symptoms before that happens and what do I need to do about that before it gets worse. So if you even just think of going on a track, you're going on a track and you go off. You need to find your way back to the track quickly before it gets worse and you get more lost. Once you're lost, it's very hard to find your way back.
SubhanAllah. Yeah.
Yeah.
But if you go off track a little bit and put yourself back on track, you're fine again.
Uh-huh.
And that's the thing with disease. And the thing is with doctors is they're taught what to do once your disease has progressed to a case where their medicine, where it suits their medication. So their medication is something that is to be taken that has side effects. Okay, we can't ignore that.
Yeah.
And it has benefits as well. So your state of disease needs to be at that level where the benefits of that medication is now going to weigh out the risks of that medication.
Absolutely.
The thing is, before that, there is so much herbs, so much diet changes, so much lifestyle changes that we can do to rectify when the body's vitality is still strong.
Yeah.
When you're able to make small changes that makes a difference.
Yeah.
And it's if once we get to the disease state or disease where, or a state where it's extreme, we might need that medication.
Absolutely. Yes. And I see that, like you were saying, we need a holistic, like, get the doctors involved, get the naturopath involved. Because look, if I had a car accident, I don't want herbs. I want to see a doctor.
Right.
You know, I want someone that's going to give me some heavy drugs. Yes. But at the same time, on that journey, like preventative medication is just not addressed enough.
And, and in our deen, like the Prophet he spoke a lot about our soul. Right. A lot of the hadith, and there is hadith about physical health.
Yes.
Yeah.
But it's not that much. We can count them, right?
Yeah.
But if you look at his sunnah, everything in his sunnah is to improve our physical health.
Absolutely, absolutely.
It's not said, but it's in action. And it is prevention of disease. It's all prevention of disease.
Yep.
There's actually a doctor in Bondi, a Jewish doctor. He's got the book of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his prophetic medicine. He actually uses that on his clients. And sometimes as Muslims, it's like, the Prophet did that? Oh my God, science proved that. Now we need to implement it. So
Like I do use scientific, sometimes scientific information because it helps people to kind of see that naturopathy is not just from this hippie background. You know, it's not, it's got backing behind it. But at the same time, we have to understand we've already been given this. You know, we've already been given it in our deen.
SubhanAllah.
So now we've reached our segment, Try and First Trial. So in this segment, we usually discuss a trial or triumph that we've had in the past week. So we're going to start with Dahlia.
Okay, so school holidays have ended. Yeah, 2 months here with the kids. Here in Australia, the school holidays have ended. So it was 2 months of the kids. And you know, when they went back to school, I was like sort of anxious, like I'm not used to not them being around, you know what I mean? Yeah. And then, but at the same time, I'm like, oh, see you later. Like, thank the Lord, I mean, you know? And subhanAllah, like, because they're with me, you know, majority of the 2 months, so we were just constantly in each other's face. My daughter wanted to show me something. And I was doing the dishes and I was just really busy. You know, as mums, we've got like 1,000 to-do lists in our heads just on replay. And she wanted to tell me something. And you know how little girls need like 20,000 words to let out every day? And I'm like, mum, just tell me later, sweetie. Just tell me later, I'll get back to you. And she's like, and she, under her breath, she goes, oh, you're always busy. And when she said that, I just froze. And I was like, okay, come, show me what you want to show me. And I didn't realize it until she said that sometimes we might be physically there with our kids, but spiritually, you know, in terms of our presence, we're not really there. You know, we could be on our phone, we could be spaced out somewhere else, and our children feel it, but we're kind of like, no, they don't really understand, you know, or they don't really think about it. Yeah. But until she said that, I was like, okay, I need to pay a little bit more attention. And even if it's like, my son will do a drawing, and then he'll draw like for like 2 minutes and then he'll show me. And I'll go back and draw again. 2 minutes and then he'll show me. And then it gets exhausting, but I'm like, well, that's my job as a mother. I'm supposed to be there, you know? Mm. So I needed that reality check.
Mm. Okay, so today I have a triumph, which is unusual. we had like a guest, like we had the pleasure to meet a guest that does like stretches and mindfulness class. So I decided to sign up to one of her classes. And my husband like is skeptical of these things. And he's like, no, don't do it, whatever. But I'm like, okay, I insist, you don't know anything about it, whatever. And then I went. And, you know, you have to do certain like poses where like, you know, you have to check your balance.
Yeah.
And I realized that once I focused on these certain poses, my brain went like blank for a second, a fraction of a second. And I'm like, once I realized that my brain is switched off for that second, I'm like, oh my God, it feels so good that my brain is not in overdrive. And I like, I've always like, you know, like I'm not like into anything in terms of like, oh, I'm into like, you know, naturopaths, I'm into yoga, I'm into whatever. I'm not like that type of person. I'm usually like, you know, I read, if I like something, I do it.
Yeah.
But I'm like, I cannot believe, like she told us that, but I did not believe it till I actually tried it myself.
Until you felt it. That's a lot of things with naturopathy, I guess.
It's yes. So I'm like, wow, like that's amazing.
How did you feel with the breathing?
I felt amazing. And by the end of it, I actually cried. And I'm like, okay, I didn't know I had that much stress inside of me. And then when I came back home, my husband had to see a very happy wife for the rest of the day. And he's like, oh, you do that every week. I'm like, oh, I thought you didn't like that. Anyway, but yeah, like now he's like, make sure you go on Sunday. If I'm ever like, you know, have a temper issue, he's like, go on Sunday to that class again.
You need to see your yoga instructor.
It's time.
Breathing is so amazing. And it just releases so much negative. Because when we're stressed, we're like taking short breaths. Everything is just
bottled in. In the beginning when I was like trying it, you know, like you look around, someone moves, you're not focused. So like you're not focused for the whole session. But once like you hit these like hard to do, and then like you're like trying to balance and your brain is only focusing on your body balancing, you're like, okay, I'm not thinking about anything except my body and my breathing. I need to breathe in without falling from that tree pose or whatever. I'm like, ooh, oh my God, like my brain shut off for a minute. Yes. SubhanAllah.
So focusing even on our salat will be healing as well.
Yeah. We would like to take a moment to thank our sponsor, Islamic Relief Australia, who are always striving to help people in crisis and in their time of need. They also empower thousands of women and children around the globe and are climate champions who promote sustainable economic and social development in poverty-stricken areas. To join their noble cause, make sure you check out their website, www.islamic-relief.com.au.
Naima, can you give us a trial or triumph?
Yep.
Okay, so this week, a trial or triumph, like you said, it was the school holidays.
Yeah.
So towards the end of the school holidays, things started getting a bit tense.
Yeah, like the kids are like bored by the end
of it. Yeah, my little one, she's got a very like high patience tolerance. So she's phlegmatic, as we were talking about temperaments Inshallah, before.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So she deals with a lot of other people's crap.
Sweetie.
By the end of the school holidays, she was very upset, but she had done something wrong. So I was telling her off. And normally, because she's the baby, I let her go.
Yeah.
You know,
always
and
the baby gets
And I feel bad for her because I know that she's always very accommodating to everyone.
Aww.
And, you know.
How old is she?
She's six.
Oh, honey.
Yeah. Yes. So, but this time, like, no, I've given her too much slack.
Yeah.
I need to tell her off. So she started crying. So she started crying and I'm like, no, I'm holding my ground here. And then she goes, that's it, I'm moving out.
Good luck with that.
So my older daughter, she's 11 and she's choleric. So she's opposite. So she's very dominating and she just knows exactly what she wants and everything like that. So so she was like shocked. I could see like she gets anxious about things as well. And she's a bit protective over her little sister, but she doesn't show it. So if her sister wants a kiss, she'll act like that big sister. Nah, I don't want
a kiss
here. What are we doing? You know?
Ew.
Yeah. kisses. And so when my little one said she wanted to move out, I just went with her. I just said, okay, where do you want to go?
Yeah.
And she goes, I don't know I'm going to, but as long as I'm moving away to a kind family.
Oh, God. Aren't they dramatic girls?
My girls are very dramatic. They play like acting all day.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Yeah. That's my daughter.
Yeah. And I said, but what about your toys? How are you going to carry all your toys? She goes, I'm going to use your black suitcase. I'm going to pack them all in there.
Oh, okay. I'm taking my toys with me.
Yeah, I'm taking my toys with me. And then after I just went along, we started talking. My older one's like, but Sophia, you won't be able to go swimming with us.
Yeah.
And she's like, well, mom can pick me up on the way.
I'm reconsidering this.
No, she wasn't. She was like thinking she was going to be so nice and peaceful without everyone. Because like phlegmatics like their space.
Yes.
Right. So we're going with it. My older one was going with it as well. So we're going. And then after that, I don't know what they did. They ended up playing together. And somewhere in that playing, they had made an agreement.
Okay.
So at the end of one more thing. I don't know if I should say this.
Okay.
So my daughter still needs me to like go in the bathroom and wash her. And then I said, she's not gonna hate me. She's older, but anyway. I said, how are you gonna move out if you still need me to wash you?
Yeah.
And then after that, she goes, I'll call you. And I'm like,
okay, so like you're gonna live in another family, call me up when you go to the toilet.
And then after, so they played at the end of the day. She went to the bathroom, she washed herself, and she came out and she goes, Mom, I washed myself so I can move out now.
Oh, fantastic. My three most hated words is, Mom, I'm finished.
I hate these words.
It's always when I'm about to eat.
Eat.
Turn
off for food.
Yeah, no, I make sure they go to it before eat food time. But yeah, so with my daughter, so she goes, Mom, so I can move out, I can wash myself. And my older one goes, no, you said, wallah, you weren't going to move out. So when they were playing, they had made a negotiation. My older one had made her promise she wasn't going to move.
That's so cute. See how children, they secretly love each other.
Yeah.
Like, not in front of us.
Not in front
you can't do it in front of us.
And I think that's the thing maybe with, I don't know, but I think maybe it's like having just the two children on there. Like, I think they have pairs. Or I don't know, maybe in four kids, there's like pairs in the four.
There's always a pair. Because like I come from a family of five.
Mm. Yeah.
There's always a pair like of... And then there's one that's stuck in the middle.
Yeah.
And I feel like sorry for my sister. That's it.
Yeah.
She's like the two younger are like closer and the two eldest are. And then the she's in the middle where she's like, okay, I'll hop to this group, to that group.
You're the floaters.
Yeah. I had a psychologist friend. She was saying, you should have your children in pairs, yeah, or in an even number. Oh, actually, sorry, three,
mm,
or four, because she said three, there's two of them will become a pair, and mm, one of them will then become closer to one of the parents.
Oh,
I found that, yes.
Yeah, okay. And then if it's four, then they will go in pairs. And it's mm, not, and if it's two, apparently the two will need each other. There'll be a lot of dependence on each other.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes,
okay,
yeah. I realize that. I have two. So oh, yeah, my two are like very dependent on each other.
Mm, apparently, even as adults. So, like when well, they grow up. Yeah.
Yeah. Subhanallah.
Subhanallah. Mm. So let's move on. So now we have the rise of the coronavirus.
Oh, yeah.
And yes, that unfortunate news. And like everybody's freaking out.
Mm.
And like even when I was sending my little one to school, I was freaking out. I'm yeah, like, okay, yeah, do I send him? Do I not send him? So, like, what are some natural ways we can do to protect our family and little ones with these okay, viruses going on?
So with the viruses specifically, so like obviously I advocate for prevention of mm-hmm, disease, but let's say it is prevalent in the area.
Yeah.
So we have, even in our deen, the Prophet ﷺ has taught us that if there is an epidemic has broken out, don't leave a city where an epidemic has broken out if you're yeah, from that city. Yeah. And don't go to a place mm-hmm, where there is an epidemic that has yeah, broken out. So we still need to take our precautions. And again, like I said, even though the Prophet ﷺ didn't say in words everything that he did, but in the sunnah, there is a lot of hygiene.
Yes.
Hygiene, and that all helps with disease prevention.
Yep.
So taking all those precautions, yep, being as hygienic mm, as possible, not going to areas where they have said that it's there, yep, you know, and then looking after our own health. So trying to improve our immune system to the best of our ability.
Yeah.
So our immune system is very weak when we're under stress.
Yep.
And stress, okay, whenever I use the word stress, it's not just how we use the word stress socially.
Yep.
It's any pressure on the body. So mentally, emotionally, spiritually, physically.
Mm-hmm.
So physically, again, it can be like a nutritional deficiencies.
Yep.
So if you don't have these essential nutrients, you're putting your body in a state of stress, making mm-hmm, putting pressure on your body. And if you're not getting enough sleep, there's a lot of rest and repair that's happening in sleep.
Yeah.
Again, you're going to be putting your immune system in danger.
Yeah.
So yep, with children, because like I was saying that there is that rapid growth, food is very important.
Yep.
Making sure they're having all their meals. So this goes with any virus. Like, so with any virus, prevention is, first of all, you feed your children, making sure that, you know, yeah, they're not skipping meals, they're getting all their essential nutrients, they're resting. And then if they are sick, if they do have a fever, that's when we start changing the diet to okay, suit that. But before you get sick, before you have a fever, it's about feeding
yeah,
and nourishing.
Mm-hmm.
What I would say in terms of the immune system, so rest is really important. And nutrients that we can supplement with mm, is so vitamin C, mm-hmm, zinc, vitamin E. They're all good for the immune system.
Uh-huh.
And finding that in your food. So fruits that are in season are generally
yeah,
very good for what's happening at that time. Wow. So
subhanAllah.
Yeah. So subhanAllah, yeah, like in winter, we've got a lot of berries, a lot of oranges, a lot of citrus fruits, and mm, they're very high in vitamin C.
Yep.
And that's mm, when we need it most.
Wow.
You know? So, need the vitamin C absolutely, for flu yeah, and all that.
Yeah, yeah.
Dr. Jeffrey Thompson said that 90% of the reason why people go to the doctor is stress-related illnesses.
Mm.
And as you were saying, like when we have so much stress, like mm, back in the day, it was like when a lion came to attack us.
Yeah.
Now it's like my fight with my spouse, or mm, I can't pay my rent, or, you know, just your mind going on autopilot, your in-laws or your appointments. And mm, we don't realize how much stress is affecting us daily.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask you, I have personally a handful of friends who have autoimmune illnesses and diseases.
Mm.
Is it rising amongst, especially mothers now?
Yes.
With the amount of stress we put on our bodies?
Yes, definitely. Yeah. So,
and what can we do to prevent something like this? As you were saying, you were talking about stress and yeah, our diet.
Yeah, so another thing I missed out with the immune system is vitamin D and mm-hmm, iron.
Yes, okay.
Okay. So we know a lot of us are deficient in vitamin D.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So vitamin D is a kind of like an immune watchdog.
Yeah.
And they actually found now it's not actually a vitamin, it's a hormone.
Wow, okay.
So wow, it's very essential. And also its role in inflammation it suppresses inflammation, or you can bring it down.
Okay, wow. All right. Yeah. What so about for eczema, like something like eczema?
Yeah, so you would need vitamin D, especially in children.
Wow. Okay. Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah. So again, but not looking at this as a one thing, like vitamin D is not going to help your eczema, or it's not going to help your autoimmune disease. It's going to help, but it's not going to, it will help, but it's not going to treat
heal
it.
You, yeah.
Okay. Yep.
So with autoimmune diseases is inflammation, like there is a lot of inflammation going on when the immune system has already now gone into a state where it's no longer able to regulate itself.
Okay.
So the autoimmune is when, so the immune system is a very complex system, but it's very smart in that it will produce antibodies for any diseases it's been exposed to, anything that is going to be a danger. Okay, it will produce an antibody and try to fight whatever that is.
Yeah.
But with autoimmune, what happens is it's attacking cells that are not not meant to be attacked. Yeah, your own cells.
Mm.
So, but even before autoimmune disease, there's always other things happening.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, it's and hard. Like low immune system. And again, the low immune system can be from stress. So you're talking about stress. Yeah, so stress accelerates everything.
Yeah.
So stress can be good, like we're talking about the lion.
Yeah.
Okay, so it can save your life.
Yeah.
Because it does bring you like pump adrenaline into you, and you're able to do things that you never have thought you would have been able to do if you were in that relaxed state.
Yeah.
So, but when we're in chronic state of stress, so like we said, today's our mind is not able to differentiate that it's a lion or it's just a friend appointment, you know, that we're trying to get to.
Yeah.
It's all of that is classified as danger and stressful. Mm. And it's like, okay, so for example, we're rushing in the morning to take our kids to school.
Yeah.
The mind doesn't know that it's just school, that it's just, you know what I mean?
Yeah. It's not gonna die.
Yeah. But it takes it out. We're going to die. We're going to die.
Wow. SubhanAllah. Yes, how powerful
that's
is
how stressed
that?
You are. Like, I'm like, why am I so stressed? Like, let them be late.
You need to go through your values and beliefs. Like, you can't just do it like, okay, you're not going to be able to just say to yourself, just calm down, it's okay.
Mm.
No, you need to work on the deeper thoughts and beliefs that are coming with that, because that's where our actions come from.
Yeah.
But so with stress, okay, so let's say we're in that fight or flight mode in the morning. Mm-hmm. That's okay. We can probably be more smarter in the way we drive safely, though, of course.
Yeah.
We can do things quicker. We'll be able to clean the house, pack the kids' lunch, do everything in like half an hour, which we would not have taken that much time.
Yeah.
Would take much more longer in other situations.
Yep.
But then we drop them off, and then we've got another stress that we've got to run off to.
Yeah.
And so the body, okay, will now, number one, try to improve the energy accessible to you.
Yeah.
Okay, to get you through whatever this stress is. So it does that by elevating the glucose levels in the blood to make that energy accessible to you.
Mm-hmm.
So that's great in that situation. But what happens when it's like that constantly?
Yeah.
So your blood sugar levels are increased constantly throughout the day.
Wow.
So our receptors that are there to regulate our glucose levels are going to become desensitized. So that's when you start seeing insulin resistance.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Isn't that incredible?
Yeah, but that's not the only thing that is happening. Also, our digestion is getting shut down when we're in a state of stress. So in that immediate stress, because the body's thinking, tomorrow we may not live. So all the things that are not important for today, for energy today, we can shut it down. Well, it will be minimized, okay?
So that kind of rest, relax, repair for the immune system kind of shuts down because you're stressed, and it kind of, what is it, just shut off on us? Or
so it doesn't completely, we can see people that have been traumatized or in a real extreme state of shock, but it will minimize the energy expended to that area. So for example, a digestive system, it's not going to be the peristaltic movement.
Yeah.
It's going to slow down.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So that is also another reason why, you know, people might get constipated or diarrhea
with
IBS, you know.
Yeah, that is like a big thing.
Big thing. Yeah, it's huge. Mm. Because that's one of the first things that gets affected by stress.
Oh, okay.
Yep. Okay, so then after that, the gut has been shut down, or the digestive system has been slowed down, then further issues start arising in the gut. because it's now not functioning properly for a longer period of time.
SubhanAllah.
So can you just see the effects pattern of that?
And we do this daily.
Daily.
Day in, day out.
Daily. Yeah. So that's the thing we need, again, like I was saying, but we do have salat. We do have like mindful meditation. We have a massage, but we as mothers need to be conscious of what our stress levels are like, what our health is like, our capabilities, our limitations, and knowing without guilt that we need to go and do that, you know, to support our body.
Yes, that is so important. Wow.
Yep. So now that we're talking about stress and all that, do you have like a magic pill that supercharges mothers? Like,
is there a supplement we can buy off you?
How do we prevent the burnout? Like, because I remember I was cooking, came back home from work, cooking, did the work for my son. He's homeschooled. And then I remembered it was like Asr time. Mm. And I'm like, okay. I'm like praying and I'm like, I'm blank.
Jana, I'll answer that for you. Get a chef. Get a butler, get a cook, get a driver, get a masseuse.
Realistic magic pill. Realistic magic pill.
Okay. Well, I have to first say everything is holistic. There is no one magic pill, but starting your day, how you start your day, connecting to Allah from the source of energy. So renewing our energy all the time daily. And knowing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the source of energy and going back to that. So we have something also like energy transfers. So we, even as a family dynamic, children give us a lot of negative energy, gets thrown to the mother.
Yeah.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I agree.
No one's going to tell you that.
The mother needs to throw that negative energy to husbands.
Mm.
So men are created for stress. Their health improves with stress.
Wow. Really?
Yes.
Oh, well, God. I have a word with my husband today.
But we both mother and father, need to be connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Okay.
Okay. So starting your day off like that and connecting to the source. But also husbands need to be on, men need to carry also that responsibility that they're created for. And then if you want to say a magic pill, what helped me when I was like going through uni and children and cooking and all of those crazy times, I really loved some herbs.
Mm.
So there's herbs, withania. It's my favorite.
What is it called, withania? I'm going to write that down.
Withania, I'm writing that too.
Okay.
Yeah. So in other languages or cultures, in other forms of medicine, they also call it ashwagandha.
Mm-hmm. Ashwagandha. I've heard of ashwagandha.
Heard of it? Yeah. So it's the same thing.
Yep.
But if you combine it with some other more stimulating herbs like ginseng, rhodiola, it's a really good blend. But another really important thing is knowing where you're at. So why are you tired? Is it really because of all the energy that you've expended, or is there no real reason for you to be tired? Because a lot of people these days are getting tired with no real reason.
Yeah, they just feel lethargic.
They feel low motivation. And, you know, there is reasons for that.
Yeah.
So this is our body's way of telling us there is something wrong.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And this is what we need to find.
Okay.
I find that when people wake up and they don't have a purpose to live, they don't have a reason. Everything is like autopilot, like drop my kids off at school, go home, pick up, do the groceries. Like, I'm just down. Like, but I have no reason. Give yourself a reason to live, you know, do things for people. And
But, you know, also remember how we're talking about the temperaments.
Yeah.
Some of the temperaments don't actually have that strong need. Like,
we were jealous of those temperaments, weren't we?
Yes. We should discuss the temperaments offline. So, maybe just explain a little bit of temperaments and how people.
Also, we are born with, there is four different temperaments.
Yeah.
And we're all primarily, we have a mix of all of them, but we're primarily one of them.
Uh huh.
But whatever temperament we've been given, it's for our work on earth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given that to us to fulfill whatever purpose we are supposed to.
Yes.
But understanding that we're not all of the same temperament. So that's why you'll find that, like you were saying, so finding a purpose to live, that's for you.
Yeah.
Sanguine, choleric, we need to find that, significance. What are we doing with my life? Things like that. Those questions don't come as much if you speak to a phlegmatic person. They'll have that, but not as strong as you. They can still be content and happy.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. It's a very foreign topic to me.
It's nice to actually like. I think everybody should do that. Should do like find out what the temperament is. I find it like it's easier like now that she's just explained a little bit about it. Even like before, I find like it's. I've understood a couple of people in my head like that. Exactly. I know. I'm like, whoa. Mm. Okay, that's why that person is like that because they have that kind of temperament.
Yeah. We were saying and we don't judge them as much because we're like, I get where they're coming from.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the thing. Like when we understand ourselves. We understand others, you know. We see how all together we can work really well. Mm. And we need everyone. We need everyone. Absolutely. Yeah.
So now we've reached our segment from the outside in. Usually in this segment, we discuss something from the outside, whether it's a documentary, a book, anything that we have liked that we like to share with the audience and each other. So Dahlia today has brought us something she'd like to talk about.
Yes. On Netflix, there's a documentary called Heal. So it's stories about spiritual leaders, physicians and other people documenting their journey with chronic illnesses and alternative ways in treating it. Now, what I liked about the documentary was that it was also fair to the medical profession. Like they're saying, we need doctors at times, absolutely, but let's work together. Holistically, let's work together. They spoke about particular things about radically changing our diet is really important. They spoke about stress, as we were speaking now, how you know significant the stress is to the immune system. Having a spiritual connection. And no one in that documentary was Muslim, but they said how important it was to have spiritual connections. And in a world where everything is so material. People are feeling so empty.
Detached.
Like, detached. And they're feeling like, okay, so they've got the looks or they've got the cars or they've got the life and then they've got the likes on Instagram. But you tell them, I'm void. I'm empty. I don't have a reason to live. I don't know what my purpose is on this earth. So those are kind of existential questions. Yeah. It was really interesting. There was one particular lady, you probably saw her. She she had a lot of inflammation on her skin. What was the problem that she had on her skin? Do you remember what it was?
I don't remember. I
forgot what it was. Anyway, she had a lot of problems. So they delved into suppressed emotions and her mum had mental illness and she as a child was neglected. She had to work from 10 years old. It was a really sad story, but as you were saying, the body speaks to you. It was coming out on her skin as she was growing older and it was that was fascinating. They spoke about the pharmaceutical industry. Like that was really
that's
interesting.
That's a part. Like I'm anti conspiracy.
Yes,
I'm like too. So anti conspiracy. This
even
is where I'm like,
even though I'm a naturopath,
I'm like, I cannot believe. So like, that was like my like, you know, I had some doubts about the documentary, but I just liked it that it's. I think like Hiba, we had sister Hiba Shahid. She came. She's the pelvic expert.
Yeah.
She came to one episode and she told us that like you know a pelvic expert should work. Like 6 months check after you give birth like is essential. Like I don't understand why they don't work together. Like you know, like where like the doctor like the GP says, okay, your blood seem fine, maybe go to a naturopath and just check if there's something
the healing you're like healing well
turf wars or something.
That's
healing.
It like if you didn't find the answers and in medicine, maybe it's something like you know like he said holistic figure, like it should be like working together rather than this is the right way, this is the right way. Like I find it like usually it's like the naturopaths are like, oh, everything's natural. And then, or the like the medical people, they're like, oh, we know better.
Yes.
Like it's, I think it's ego kind of.
Yeah, I actually really do believe. And I think it's a lot of labels. So people label themselves and then feel like they attach this thought process to that label. And it's an ego thing, right? And even, not even just practitioners, like I'll even see, like you see people like, oh, I will not give my children this. I will only breastfeed. I will only do this.
Yes.
And then they have to stick by that label, you know, but they're not using common sense. Well, in this situation, you actually have to take antibiotics you know what I mean? Like, but
it's got to do more with that kind of what they attach your self-esteem with. Like, I'm that kind of mother that my water shower is filtered with organic water. Like, oh, dear
like
Lord.
See, you know? Like, I know, like, I was speaking to a friend and she's telling me she was following a naturopath and she's like, I'm having anxiety attacks because, like, she's telling me this is bad, this is bad. The kids are eating this. She's like, I freaked out. And then I realized when I unfollowed that person,
I'm
like, so much better. I'm like, you see, like, it doesn't work like that. You can't just come and just change
organic.
Everything.
I know my dad's very holistic, so he will advise people to see a naturopath and he likes to kind of use all the professions to help. It has a holistic approach rather than throwing people on just medication. But we would laugh about how we would get the drug reps to come. It was over the years when I used to walk into their surgeries and so on. They were always really good looking people. Like always the pharmacy.
Part of the plan.
Part of the plan. I don't know if it's like that now. This was like maybe 10 years ago, back 10 years ago, about 15 years ago. Gorgeous blonde girls with stilettos. The guys were good looking and they would come in with the most delicious food and then they'll present their drug, you know, the drug of choice. So.
I mean, I'm pretty sure they make profit. Of course, they want to sell their medication.
Exactly.
But I don't feel like there's a big conspiracy in terms of like,
I actually do think that it's about awareness and education.
Yeah.
Like I've spoken to doctors before and initially in the beginning of the conversation, they will think that naturopaths are quacks.
Okay?
And then I will say, ask why. And then they'll bring up like a patient of theirs that, you know, had thyroid issues and then the naturopath told them to do this. And I'm like, okay, but maybe that person was not a naturopath. That was your one experience of it.
That's another thing.
We were actually taught to read blood tests, to actually read, you know, the thyroid stimulating hormones, the thyroid hormones. And then we're also taught about how stress affects thyroid, how thyroid hormones govern other things as well. And how, and then we've got the herbs to work with that too. When we actually talk, they see where I'm coming from and then they agree. Like one doctor actually started studying naturopathy.
How much benefit would that be having both those fields
together? See, like, if like the egos I think are just like, you know, taken out of the picture
and just putting the client or the patient health as the most important thing and knowing that and being aware of all the professions that are out there, all the therapists, knowing what they can do, so when you know, you will know who to refer to. But if you don't know what, for example, pelvic health physio can do for you, you won't even know to refer to them.
The Muslims need to have a group, all the Muslim professions together and all the different, and they should know like, okay, I need a psychologist, I need a therapist, I need a life coach.
I mean, like the prophet told us about like the black seed oil, like, you know, there's the shifa in it, like there's healing in that. Like, so there is like natural, and I know that there's a cure for every disease. So they're like, if medicine failed in something, like, you know, there should be another explanation in other.
Well, another thing is if we look at history and up until this time and how did we survive all this time when, you know, the pharmaceutical industry or modern medicine has only changed only since the introduction of antibiotics, really. So what were they doing all that other time?
Makes sense.
And again, like I also don't like to say I'm against doctors or pharmaceutical medication because they actually do help save lives. They actually do a lot of work. They do a lot of the scary work. And the hard work. But before that, there is also a lot of work to do.
Preventative medicine.
SubhanAllah.
So I'm going to move on to pregnant sisters. I'm going to ask a question for all the pregnant sisters that are hearing. None of us are pregnant. I'm just joking. So give us some basic advice for optimal well-being during pregnancy.
Okay. So again, before you're pregnant. Okay.
Because so now. Okay, Dahlia, if you're prepared.
I'm just joking.
Because a lot of things happen once you're pretty pregnant. And you're not able to eat healthy or eat well because you're turned off meat, you're turned off all these foods. So the time would be before you feel pregnant. And again, it's mother and father's health. And father's health is much more important before pregnancy. Because he can't do anything once
the baby's really interesting. Okay.
The egg and sperm is already inside the uterus. There's nothing more he can do to improve his sperm. So before that, it's much more important. Like, that's the only time that the father can make a difference. And it does make a difference, especially to your son's health. Especially with all the diseases that are on the rise. A lot of the things, so we do, so a lot of things that we say can be genetic, right? But it's not only genetic. Like, if you have deficiencies, if you have weaknesses, that's also going to be passed on. And so there's a lot that you can do before you fall pregnant. And, you know, that comes with generally healthy living and nourishment. And in pregnancy, nourishment, is so important. So having, so if you think of it, there is another human dependent on you in terms of nutrients. It doesn't necessarily mean you have to eat for two. in terms of calories, but in terms of nutrients, you do.
Okay, in terms of nutrients, but not calories. Okay.
Yeah, so and the thing is, the very important stages of growing the fetus is right in the beginning. So in that first 13 weeks, all the organs have formed.
Wow, subhanAllah.
And you find out crucial. Sometimes, so you find out sometimes that you're pregnant at 6 weeks, you know, or seven, eight. Some people, you know, find out at 10 weeks.
Yeah.
And by that time, there's you can't just now all of a sudden start taking your multivitamins.
Yeah,
you know.
Right.
So before you fall pregnant, as soon as you know that there's a plan or anything, like start improving your health, multivitamin. When you're pregnant, I normally just try to survive your pregnancy.
Absolutely.
And just know what's a stress, what's pressure on your body. Have a lot of rest because you're going to have another human dependent on you 24/7 when you give birth.
Yeah,
subhanAllah. Yeah, like I even noticed that with my two pregnancies. The first, I was finishing uni, so I was so stressed.
Yeah.
So I felt like the birthing process and after that, whatever, I was like too stressed as a mom.
Yeah.
And it, like, you know, you could see it on the child, affecting the child.
SubhanAllah.
But with my second, I was just very laid back. Like, you know, made sure that I'm like not like high on stress or anything.
Absolutely.
And you could tell, like, even the way they sleep at night, they sleep better, whatever. I'm like,
SubhanAllah.
I felt the difference. Yeah. SubhanAllah, just from me just being less stressed.
Or even toxic people out of your life, like toxic environments and things like that would make such an effect on your pregnancy.
I think knowing your limitations and then being okay to say no to people, like saying, you know, I can't be going out every day. I can't be going. I need time to rest. And then when you know that, you don't feel guilty saying no.
Yeah. It's what we have. We need to place boundaries because no one's going to make boundaries for us.
No one knows your boundaries until you put it up. Yeah.
And no one likes boundaries until they're like enforced on you. They're like, you do you, sweetheart. You make boundaries. And then when you put it on them, they're like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
No. She said no.
Well, it takes time for people to get used to your boundaries if it wasn't there, but they'll get used to it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask, we kind of touched on this topic already, but just some skeptics. What would you say to them? Because there are some companies, like I know on YouTube, all over YouTube, it's like Goop. I don't know if anyone's heard of it. It's like Gwyneth Paltrow's billion-dollar business. And a lot of it's really like expensive rubbish. I mean, what were some of the things that were...
There was some roller, the face roller that, like, you know, is youthful, like that
for
gem
your
on
youthful,
it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's like $1,000.
There was one about crystals and energy. I don't know if these things work. I'm not really sure.
Okay.
Some of them are just weird. Okay. Yeah. So we've got that. We've got in the actual documentary, they had one particular man who he said that there was a spirit that came to people. The spirit put his hand on his grandma and said, proclaim lung cancer, proclaim lung cancer. And he goes, then we realized she had lung cancer. So when people, I think, doctors or nurses or, you know, in the medical...
Come across those
people. See, they're like, okay, this is all crazy. Yes. What would you say to, you know, people like that? And
what's
the realistic image of it?
Well, I would say go to a reliable source when you're seeking your knowledge.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So there is a lot of more reliable sources of information now. And even me, like, although I grew up in this same, you know, society where the first point of contact is your GP, you know, we're not taught preventative medicine. It's, you know, like, I lived in the same world you live in. And then when things were introduced to me, even in my studies, there was things I was skeptical about. And it wasn't more so in university, because university, the way they presented naturopathy was very modern and scientific naturopathy. Yeah. But it was after university when I started doing other kind of studies. And even when you have children and you want to implement these things that you're not sure of, like all of a sudden, like, it was fine studying it. Now I've got to do it with my children.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know about that now.
Oh, and that's so true. Oh, my God.
For you,
I'll take this. But her, I'm like, give it the Panadol. Or, you know, you just feel safer for some reason. Yeah,
exactly. That's the same thing with me. When, you know, when I learnt these things, that I'm just like, okay, but for my daughter, I'm going to have to think about that. I'm going to have to research that.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until, like, I started implementing things one by one and seeing them for myself.
Yeah.
Okay.
I would say, first of all, stick to reliable source of information.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And even from there, then you will start implementing and you will start seeing. When you start seeing, that's when you really believe.
SubhanAllah.
But as a skeptic, it generally causes ignorance. generally. Yeah. Okay, if anyone's skeptical, there's always that layer of ignorance, and you could be right. Like, there are some things that are really weird.
Yeah.
So yeah, finding that.
Okay, so like, let's say I'm gonna start now. I want to go to a naturopath. I'm not feeling 100%, and my GP said I'm fine. Mm-hmm. Okay, hypothetically.
Yeah.
I go to a naturopath. How do I know that the naturopath I went to is doing something right for me?
Okay.
And do I just take whatever they tell me? Do I trial and error? What do I do?
Okay, so, all right. So you would look at the naturopath's experience.
Yeah.
Where they studied.
Mm-hmm.
That would be the two main things I would look for.
Mm-hmm.
And so generally, even in Sydney, the naturopaths, there is a lot of, if you look them up properly, they have got good
credentials,
knowledge. Yeah, yeah, credentials behind them. But then there are the few that hang, you know, turn up in the news that, you know, if they've put a baby on a very extreme diet and things like that. And turns out they're not actually a naturopath, you know?
Yeah.
That's the other thing is, I have heard from my, like, from people just socially speaking, oh, they will say, oh, I've been to a naturopath, and then, or even as a client, okay, so they, you know, they said they've been to a naturopath, and then I said, okay, that's fine, and we'll go through their health, and then I'll be putting them on a plan, or, and then I'll be thinking, like, have you been on this plan before? And they'll say no. And I'm thinking, if you've been to a naturopath before, you should have addressed this issue first. Like, why have you never been, you know, why has this issue never been addressed?
Yes. SubhanAllah, yeah.
And then I find out later that that person that they went to was not actually a naturopath.
Oh, okay.
Mm.
So even asking them, even if they sound like a naturopath, are you a naturopath?
Okay, yeah.
Because when that question is directly questioned, then they have to answer.
Exactly, exactly.
Correctly. And don't be afraid to ask people. They shouldn't be afraid to share. Yeah. The only times maybe that you wouldn't ask too much is if you had firsthand experience maybe already from family and friends, and you can already see that their work has being good and reliable.
Oh, fantastic.
It is hard because there is no regulation.
They were saying the registration from it.
Naturopaths are not, I mean, like, there's a lot of naturopaths working towards that, like registration.
Yeah,
it's just so that it's regulated, but there isn't at the moment. Yeah,
yeah, absolutely.
So, look, in terms of health and well-being, what is a typical day for a Naima? People would like always like. We had a nutritionist. We're like, what do you eat?
We would love to like just put a spy camera in your home.
Well, you know what? The thing is, I have clients who have asked me for that. And the funny thing is, because if you look at like my Instagram, for example, I don't put much food up. I don't put too much things up because it's for me. Yeah. It's for my body. And I know what I need.
Yeah, it's not necessarily for
everybody.
And I
don't make things look pretty. That's another thing.
They're not Instagrammable.
You're not Instagrammable, yeah.
No, because I tried. I actually started taking photos of my food to send directly to this one client. I'm like, wow, it looks ugly. Like,
the only food that looks good is an acai bowl. Everything else looks shocking. Acai bowls, you can just make it look gorgeous.
No, I actually eat weird food, to be honest.
We need to know that.
Okay, we would like to know what you...
Let's see. Get personal with Naima.
Well, number one, I like to eat raw onion as my bread, so I don't eat gluten.
Okay, yep. I like raw onion.
Stop looking at me like that.
No, I love raw onion.
Raw onion?
No, the sweet ones from Woolies are delicious.
The organic ones are more sweet, okay.
They're very nice, yeah.
Okay.
Look how she's looking at me.
Oh, God. Because, like, we're levels. Like, I have, like, onion, like, you know, with my barbecue or, like, with the kibbeh.
Yeah.
But, like, I just find it.
That's why I don't actually prescribe this for my clients.
But onion is very good. So, so I'm, like, giving you, like, you know, benefit of the doubt. It's very good and healthy.
But, see, I like your approach in that you don't put like a one size fits all approach. And I feel like that's what's happening in like the YouTube influencers with food. And it's kind of like, you need to go on a high carb, low fat, plant based diet. And
carb. I like that you went American. Why I'm American like, needs to be like that? Like low carb, natural.
They sound better when it's like American.
It does. Yeah.
So
like another thing is different days. You're different on a different day. So for example, yesterday? So I was very anxious. I had a lot of work on, had so many things going on. So I could feel that I was very anxious. So I made a tea that had lemon balm, meadow sweet and lavender petals.
Wow. Okay.
And I made that with honey and lemon in the morning, and I wasn't ready for food. Okay. So a lot of people will say, oh, I don't have breakfast.
Yeah.
But you can't just go like that forever. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? That's not something sustainable. So every day we're different. So some days we wake up, you know, we do need to prepare our stomach before we eat. Some yeah. days we're able to have eggs with olives and whatever next to it. And some days we'll need to just have a smoothie, you know, yeah. something really quick.
Yeah.
Yeah, so do you want me to?
Yes, yes, yes. I want to know.
She's
like,
really pushing,
I'm
for,
like,
this
pushing for this. Okay, cool. Like, I know. Like, the first thing I would want to ask, like, I'm like, okay, so what do you do?
Yeah,
like, so, you know, yeah.
Okay, so that's not every day as well, though. So yeah. do you know what I mean? Yeah. So and then me personally, with my supplements, again, I'm a sanguine. I don't like routine. So there are some people, like my clients, a very good with routine. Some of them, but with me, it's not about routine. So I'll have my supplements and I'll have a few things that I know that I need and things that are just going to improve my health.
Okay.
And so whatever I'm feeling, so if I've been feeling like, but then that's me as a naturopath. So as a patient, I would actually just tell you, just follow the instructions.
Yes. Don't do like whatever don't you want just, from the top of your head.
Yeah. Yep. Because if you think too much,
yeah.
okay, you won't take it, or you'll take the wrong one, oh, or you'll yep. just leave it all together because you'll confuse yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah, so even me as a naturopath, so because I like to change supplements and do whatever I feel like, I still go see a naturopath.
Yeah. Oh.
Because sometimes I'm just like, no, I've been doing this myself and I want to see it from another naturopath's perspective.
I like that, yeah.
And I will follow what they say much better.
Okay.
So when I've been given a set of instructions, yeah. I'll do those.
Yeah.
Wow.
Okay, that's really interesting.
Yes. To yeah. get like a different yeah. perspective on things.
Yeah, because me, I will see everything of myself, everything.
Yeah.
All the details. Okay, so I will think that is important and that's just as important and that's important too, and it becomes too much.
Yeah.
Whereas if you go to a practitioner, they see what is most important to you
okay.
without putting importance on everything, because like I was saying earlier, the body is all connected.
Mm.
So one change in one area, just like a disturbance in one area is going to affect another area, healing in one area is also going to heal the other areas.
Subhanallah.
But you just need to know what's important. And like, for example, I'll just be like what I feel like, but it may not be what I need.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. So so I will still go through and do yeah. what another naturopath tells me. But like I like to so my naturopaths have always been like, my first naturopath was my teacher.
Yeah.
So she's very mashallah, like she's excellent. She's written a whole textbook and
wow.
That she was my first naturopath.
Yeah.
And then, so currently the naturopath that I'm seeing, he's a Hakim as well.
Uh-huh.
So he's a naturopath.
Mashallah.
Yeah.
Okay.
And Unani tips of prophetic medicine. So the things that he's prescribed me is holistic in that way as well.
Wow.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So, okay. So, but I still, yes, I will follow what he says, but I will still go by what I feel and need.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Okay.
So number one, I will always make sure protein is in my food.
Uh-huh.
Because that's another thing with running, like I do a lot of things, I'm always on the go.
Yeah.
So I feel like protein's going to make sure my sugar levels are not going up and down
yeah.
too much.
Okay.
I'll have any vegetable, like even if it's quick, I'll just cut up some cucumber uh-huh. you know, next to my food.
Yeah.
Whatever it is, like I don't have to have it fancy, doesn't need
that's
to be fancy,
like,
doesn't
you know
need to be perfect.
They tell me, oh, you know, have your veggies. I'm like, okay, I'm like, I really don't feel like
just
making
the thought
a salad
of
now.
Cutting broccoli
or like,
and cauliflower.
Yeah, or like putting the you know, like sauteed fruit
yeah,
veggies
I really,
on the side. I'm yeah. like, I just don't have time for it.
It doesn't have to be perfect. This is another thing, because there's a lot of trends
yeah.
and a lot of bloggers, Instagrammers.
Yeah, yeah.
So when people think of health, they're like, okay, from now on, I am going to be healthy. Mm. And then they want it to be perfect. They want to have meal plan. They want to have this and they want it to look nice. And
you get put off so quickly once you start.
Once you realize, yeah. you know, once you realize
it's unrealistic.
It's not something. It's unrealistic.
Yeah.
yeah. So that's the thing. You need to know your lifestyle. So my okay. lifestyle is very fast.
Yeah.
yeah.
So I will do what I feel like in the morning. Always make sure there's a protein. Protein in the morning you always need, because it needs to last you the longest.
Yeah.
But for example, if you're not hungry, so I'll have like clients that are anxious. If you're not hungry, you need to relax yeah. your stomach first.
Mm-hmm. See, I like what you said. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but she was saying like listening to your body. Sometimes we have so much strict eating plans, like I have to eat at 7 o'clock yeah. and then 2 hours later I got to eat this. And if you just listen to your body, sometimes I want to eat at 7 o'clock as soon as I wake up. Sometimes I don't feel like eating till like 11 in the morning, you know, to...
Yeah.
Yeah. Food is also a good way to discipline yourself. So
yeah.
So there is that aspect of listening to your body, but again, like I have clients be like, my body's telling me I need sugar.
McDonald's. Do your body enough? So I don't know which one.
My body is like, yeah, craving
coffee. Yeah. My body always craves coffee.
Coffee. I told you, coffee in the morning.
Like, but what does that mean? Okay, uh-huh. So okay. When you're craving sugar, what does that mean? Your sugar levels are low, but do you crave sugar all the time? So if you're craving sugar all the time, are you in a state of stress? Is your magnesium levels low? Your magnesium levels would be low if you're feeding yourself sugar. Is there a gut imbalance in your stomach also? Because if you have like yeasts growing, they feed on sugar. So you will crave sugar.
Ooh. Wow.
Yeah. Okay. So especially.
I think I have yeast. Because I just crave sugar.
No, but like you're go, go, go.
The fudge brownies.
So that's what you, that's why you feel like.
I love
you
need it.
Sugar.
It gives you the hit. And you're like, ooh, I feel good now.
You don't
like
say this to a naturopath. We say, we love our veggies.
No, but I'm not a low sugar
I'm a non-judgmental.
I do
tell
not
you,
like
I'm a
big, anything big processed.
Sugar. Yeah, I'm a big sugar addict, but we watched that documentary, that sugar film. I've talked about it before. Yeah, I've watched it and I stopped having sugar.
So there's a problem though as well. If you're in a severe state of stress and your body is needing sugar and you don't give it sugar, there's also a problem.
Yeah, but so I give it natural sugar.
Yes, natural sugar in the forms of carbs. So you can have complex carbs, you can have like vegetables.
Yes.
Sweet potato, rice, grains. Okay. So that's going to still be, you know, carbs. But another thing is, the more important thing is looking at why are you craving that sugar?
Because I'm stressed. Because the kids just drove me insane, let's say. I just go in the cupboard, have a just bite of chocolate and I'm fine. Like I've said that before. I've actually, like, we have like a homeschooling group and like they were saying, the kids drove me insane today, whatever, what do I do? And everybody said, have a chocolate or just go have ice cream. And like you even see it in movies, like, you know, they're in the top of, you just eat your emotions. And I'm like, it has something to do.
Well, another thing that can happen is you develop bad attachments or unhealthy relationships with food.
Oh, yes.
It makes you feel better. It really does.
Yeah.
But that's a attachment that you've created. And it's a relationship. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's a relationship you need to break up with. Yeah. As well.
I need to break up.
I don't think I'm ready. Okay.
Oh, yeah. But really, like, the underlying thing is there is other ways to support your body through stress.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so like your B's, magnesium and zinc gets depleted when you're stressed. So really making sure that you're having foods that have B's, magnesium and zinc, and supplementing if you're in extreme state of stress or if you've chronically stressed. And herbs, there's so many herbs that are adaptogenic, so they help you cope with stress.
Yeah.
And they strengthen your adrenal glands so that you are able to deal with stress better.
SubhanAllah. That's something all mothers, I think, we need to really prioritize.
And I think mothers, especially like you're talking about homeschooling, is homeschooling mothers especially need time on their own.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
They need to have, like, it's so important to have time because our community or our society is not structured the way it was before.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So you are everything. Especially as a homeschool mom, there is a lot on your plate and more pressure on your plate.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But you're not feeding your body more than what other parents are feeding themselves. Do you know what I mean? And what I meant say feed, not just in food.
Yeah.
So your mind, physically, spiritually, there is more energy that you require.
Those homeschooling, to me, they're super moms.
Yeah,
I don't
like,
know
see,
how
that's
they do
why
it.
I sent that
no, something's going to give.
That's it's really important
something.
They
I did
do
one.
Do
like
self-care.
Some people have four. I did one with the eldest and now like the second is going to school. I'm like, for now, just like relax.
But I also not, like this term super mom. Also, something's going to give. No one can do everything.
Absolutely.
So
I agree.
They're paying a price somewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I've mentioned this before. When we do see mothers, like we see, okay, you've got that great, she's the soccer mum. She goes to every sporting outing with her mum. But then it could be lacking in other ways in her life.
Yeah.
Or she's the mum that, you know, packs those, you know, those kind of stencil dinosaur sandwiches.
Yeah.
You know, but her house is a bomb. Like, you know what I mean? Yeah. Not everyone is the whole package.
Oh, yeah.
No one. But when we look at them, we're like, yep, she's just got it all. And I'm a failure and I'm a mess. Or,
yeah, but that's the thing. I think not understanding that we all have 24 hours. We're all human.
Exactly,
We're going to be good at some things and not good at some things. And, it's like what you give in is what you're going to get out.
Yeah, exactly. SubhanAllah. Now we are on the segment, the take-home task.
So usually in this segment, we ask the guest to give us a task to take home for the next week to implement. Mm-hmm. So, we're
go
excited
Naima.
To hear what Naima's going to tell us.
Take-home task. Okay. All right. So take-home task for the week would be documenting what you eat.
Documenting what we eat. Ooh. Okay.
Have a diary.
Have a diary.
Food diary.
At the end of the day, write down what you eat.
Wow. Okay.
How you felt, if it made you feel bloated, if it affected your bowel motions, affected your mood.
Uh-huh.
Wow.
Yeah, document that.
I like that.
All right, okay. I'm going to do that.
How many cups of coffee we have in a day?
And what does the coffee make me feel?
Giddy.
So you don't have coffee, just like, so I make it clear?
So I have coffee socially. Like if I go somewhere, another thing is I love the art of coffee making.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. So I love tasting different coffee beans, just things like that. But I'm not dependent on it or...
Yeah.
Naomi,
you know what I found? Because I used to be really strict about eating. I'd never used to eat very much food. I felt I depended on coffee a lot. But now that I eat much more, I don't feel like I need that energy that the coffee is giving me.
Yeah, because you're actually getting real nutrients that's actually getting your body to do what it needs to do.
SubhanAllah.
All right. So this brings us to the end of this episode. A huge thank you to our guest Naima Abdat for joining us today.
You're welcome.
And sharing a wealth of knowledge that we're just going to use in our daily life and writing a diary. That's another thing. For more info about Naima, Naima's work, just if you want to get in touch with her, make sure to check out her social page on Naima_naturopath and her website, Mothering Care.
So if you're enjoying this podcast, take a minute to leave us a review and don't forget to share with other mums in your network so we can spread the message far and wide. Until then, we know you'll take every opportunity to be a super mom.
Salam.
Salam alaikum, guys.
We'd like to thank our sponsor, Islamic Relief Australia, for making this podcast possible. Islamic Relief Australia are always striving to help vulnerable communities and those less fortunate around the globe. Let's join their journey of making the world a better place. Visit www.islamic-relief.com.au.